All right, here's what I love about Jess is she's always like, hey, I just have this little question for you. And then it's like 4 hours later, we're still like, yeah, this little question has turned into not a little question. Mm-hmm. So if you have been with us from the beginning all the way back in episode 16, we were getting ready to record an episode and Jess was like, well, let's just not do that topic. I have some questions that I wrote down. Can we just hit record? And I was like, this sounds like an attack, but yes, yeah, we'll do that. So this was not a surprise episode for me, but it was one where I was not sure where we were going or what we were doing.
Right. So I did give you a heads up this time. And episode 16, I think, went really well, and we got a lot of awesome feedback about it. And
well, and fun fact, it's one of our highest downloaded
it is.
in our whole podcast series.
Yeah. And so I was very kind this time, and I said, Mary, I want to talk to you about something. And in the way I present it, like Mary said, it's always like a very like, hey, like, what brand of bottle of water do you drink? And no, I'm always dropping some like theology on her or something.
Like, by the way, can we do a whole episode on prayer? Don't
right.
be prepared. Just yeah. like, I'm going to write down a couple questions.
But I didn't do it this time. Instead, I prepared, mm-hmm. And I took notes, and I kind of shared my prayer journey. I know, and journey seems like a really overused word right now, but that's true. Like, I was like, I'm going to start praying, and I don't know if I'm doing this right, but can we talk about it when I get a couple months into it? And then you, like, can grade me and tell me if I'm doing it okay.
I love to grade people on things. My favorite.
Especially something, you know, so subjective as prayer.
Yeah. So this episode, we talk about prayer, and I think it's important. So when we do our opener, it says I'm a Jesus follower, and it sounds like it's not my favorite part to say that, like, in the thing, but it was.
It's true.
It's true, yeah, yeah. And it tinges every conversation I have. Mm-hmm. If you are not on the same page with me or with Jess, I love that people still listen and still give us their thoughts. I don't know, like, the older I get, the more I realize I don't know as opposed to what I do know. So we're learning and asking questions together, and I think it's really interesting if you've been with us from the beginning to see this journey of maybe just wading through some things and not stopping. So even if she's going a direction you don't like, or I'm in a direction you don't like, that she's pushing and not just avoiding, I think is the part we would ask you to do too. Wherever you fall in this conversation, to not just ignore it.
No, yeah. I think that we would all benefit from having conversations like this with people that may not be on the same page as us in lots of areas, mm-hmm. whether it's religion or politics or social justice. However it is, I think that us having these conversations is what's going to help our society, really, and understanding that, hey, we're not on the same page, and also going to people and going, you know what, this is really new to me. Can I get your take on it, even though we're kind of opposite ends? And I wouldn't say that Mary and I are opposite, but having someone that you can trust and share your thoughts and, you know, in a lot of this, I know it sounds weird to say, well, I like the facts in terms of what I'm learning. So Mary can share, you know, the truth from the Bible.
One of the things I enjoy most about how our personalities are very different is when I come at a question or something that someone doesn't agree with, like, it invigorates me, and not in a way that I need to bowl you over and make you think the same way as me, but I love, like, spirited conversation. Mm-hmm. Jess does not. She is a little more, like, people-pleasing and doesn't want to offend people, but she's asking hard questions and good questions and questions that maybe don't have just one answer. And for her, that's not her personality. And so, like, her walking out and saying, like, well, here's lots of things I don't know, but I'm trying. And me hearing from someone who maybe doesn't believe the exact same thing I believe, but still asks good. I don't know. I just enjoy how we attack a problem or a topic differently.
Yeah.
And still can be friends at the end.
Mm-hmm. And I, like even saying like the truth from the Bible, I'm still on the fence with the Bible. Like I haven't tackled the Bible yet. And I remember when we first started having these conversations about faith, I said, you know what, I'm going to do that thing where you read the Bible in a year. And Mary was like, okay, good luck with that. And then I got like 2 days in, I was like, that's a lot. I think I'm biting off more than I could chew right now. So the Bible is something I haven't tackled, and maybe that's a season 6 or season 7 conversation when
or
I get
season
there.
Season 10, we don't know.
Yeah, maybe it'll be a while. So just, I'm just taking baby steps still in my faith and deciding what I believe and how I'm going to practice my faith. So we really hope you guys enjoy this episode, and I really, really look forward to hearing back from people on this one.
Yeah, we need to hear your opinions and thoughts and comments. Today's review that we're sharing from iTunes is from Miss Harvey 86, and it says, Mary and Jess are so real, so open, so brutally honest. Their topics are interesting, and I've learned a lot by listening. I feel like I'm sitting with them at the kitchen table, cup of coffee in hand, talking and listening to what's on their minds. These ladies make me look at things differently. I don't mean to give you a little cliffhanger, but Are we friends after this episode?
I don't know. We'll see.
Guess you'll have to listen to find out.
All right. Enjoy, guys.
Welcome to Not Terrible with your hosts, Jess Hooker and Mary Graham. Jess is a part-time vegan yogi. You can find her on her motorcycle, usually heading to therapy. Mary is a writer and Jesus follower. She loves camping almost as much as cheeseburgers. The Not Terrible podcast is two childhood friends who have been through the ringer, learned some tough lessons, and kept going. Jess and Mary share stories, advice, and lessons on each episode. They try to find humor in the chaos and learn from their mistakes in an attempt to feel less alone as they navigate life's journey.
I was thinking about what my earliest memory of prayer was, and no matter which parent I was with or if they were together or wherever I was, I always said my bedtime prayers for as long as I can remember. And had my kids say them up until Addie got sick. And I don't know why it stopped, or I don't know. Max started to question some things probably around that age, and I gave him the choice, like, you don't have to. But forever I did, and then I stopped. I didn't anymore. But I feel like I've always had this conversation, even when I was a kid, like, I talk to God all the time, and I didn't realize it until I was prepping for this episode that from the time my parents got divorced until they got back together when I was a teenager, I prayed all the time that my parents would get back together. That was like my one and only constant prayer, was that my parents would get back together. And then they got back together, and it was awful.
Oh.
Yeah. And it was like, so it was one of those moments like, you know, maybe, and I didn't know this then, but an unanswered prayer is an answer. It's a response, whatever you want to say. And then when my parents did get back together, and it was a shit show, really. It was like, you know what, I tried not to answer this prayer for like 16 years, and you didn't listen, so now I'm going to give you what you want, and show you that, no, you don't. This isn't what you want.
I think it's really easy when we pray, because I have a list of demands and questions and things I want. Mm-hmm. And we take everything. We always think we're the most important person in our lives. Like, That's just the way it works. But our brains, and I want to say little brains, like as kids, but like even my adult brain doesn't understand that, like, oftentimes when something happens, I'm a very small part of a bigger piece. Mm-hmm. So like you thinking my God answered my prayer and now my parents are back together, you know, there's a million other people maybe praying different things that all kind of collided, and you saw the part that you asked for versus all the parts you didn't hear. But I don't know. Just
You're right. Because, you know, I think of ourselves. Yeah.
And me, like, I'm just saying, like, oh, you as a child were so selfish. Like, even now, I still pray and ask for things that are probably selfish in a way, that because I'm just not thinking about other people.
Mm-hmm. I know that when we went to church, also the memory of praying as a kid, I still think this is why I hate the color red so much, is because the carpet was red and we would have to get down on our knees and literally like elbows in the pews, hands together, bowed head, the whole thing, and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. I mean, we're supposed to be praying. I don't know what I was doing, but I wasn't praying. I doubt it. Or maybe I started strong, but when as a kid, I don't know how long we did that, but it felt like forever sometimes. And it may not have been that long, but in my head it was. And I was more interested in what everybody else, I was looking around and I wanted to see what everybody else was doing.
Yeah.
But I also was like, this isn't when I pray. I don't pray at church. And I don't know why, but I just didn't. And I find myself too, when our family prays before a meal, if we're with extended, like aunts and uncles and people that do pray before meals, I always have my eyes open. I'm always looking around.
Just still a little kid.
Yeah, I'm just always like, what is there? And then, but I've also noticed the other people that have their eyes open recently and hearing their story and why their eyes are open. And it's just, I just do it because I've always just been a nosy person, I guess. I don't know. I just have always felt like prayer is very, very private. And I don't do my best prayer at church, and I don't do my best praying in a group of people. I guess those are kind of the same. I mean, like with family and stuff, I don't.
Groups outside church.
I just don't. I've also never belonged to like a prayer group or anything. I don't know. Do people just get together and pray together?
I'm sure some people do. Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
I think I had like a grandma that I knew that was like a grandma to me, but that they did. Like, they would just
have
meet together
meeting.
In prayer. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just pray.
Yeah.
And I was always like, wow, that's serious.
That's next level.
That's next level. Yeah. But she was next level, so I believe that I probably benefited from a lot of those prayer meetings, to be honest.
I think for some people, there's a very, formal aspect to prayer, and so there are certain times that you should pray. There are certain prayers that you should pray. Like, that's not necessarily the fallback for me. I also don't go to a church that's very liturgical, which would be like written out prayers. Everyone says them. A lot of the Catholic faith kind of does those things. And so just because I was raised differently, those aren't things that I'm very familiar with. I like the from personal experience, I know that sometimes I am struggling so much that I don't have the words to say what I need to say, and so having a prayer just to give me something to start, or when I need to say something and I don't know how, like, those, that is very helpful. It should not be the only way you pray, though.
No. And I think that that's probably another place that the Catholic Church was able to help me, because when I was attending actively, I didn't want to be there. I didn't want to go to church. I didn't want to pray. I didn't want to have anything to do with anything, really. It was it was just something to do, you know? And because it was my responsibility to introduce my children to God, to religion, what help them make decisions, and I don't want to say yada, 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 but I am, because that's where I was at that point, yada, yada, yada. And I watched, and it's interesting because I realized my dad did the same thing with my brother and I. I don't think he had any genuine interest in belonging to a church, but he was trying to do better for us. And I guess that's what I was doing with my kids too. And but I appreciated, like you said, I appreciated the prayers, and I would say them, and I would feel a certain way, and okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But there was no feeling behind any of it.
Yeah,
it was just words.
I think there's like two groups of people. That one would be like kind of like what your dad taught you of just like, I know this is good. It's not for me. I'm gonna expose you to it.
Right.
And there, I think the other group would say, our kids realize more than we know. Mm-hmm. So if they can tell you're not on board with something, it doesn't matter if you take them because they're not going to care about
right.
it.
Right. And I didn't so know at I don't, the time. But
well,
yeah.
And I don't know. Like I could argue both sides of those. Like I could argue, you get your kids in church, and even if you're not in, there are people there that will love them and mm-hmm. can fill that role if necessary. And then there's other times where I'm just like, our kids are aware of how we feel about something, whether we say it out loud or not. So they, mm-hmm. are we telling them that this isn't important, but it's just something you have to do. And that's a horrible introduction to
right
religion. So yeah, I don't know.
And also, in the Catholic faith too, you baptize your child, and when you baptize your child, it's also you making a promise to God that you are going to
raise that child
in the church. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that was always in the back of my, like, you know what, we had a deal and I did this and this is what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I keep a, like, I don't know. It sounds like a business interaction, but it kind of was. I mean,
shook hands and went home.
Yeah, exactly. But if I'm really, really honest with myself and just, I've always thought that the conversations that I have with myself, I just hope that God was eavesdropping, you know? Like even when I didn't want to pray and I didn't want to talk directly to him, but I'd have conversations with myself. I would be thinking, you know, the wants or the needs or the things that I had in my heart were my prayers, whether I verbalized them or wrote them down or, you know, said them in my head. Like I always kind of felt like he knew. Be a cop out, but
I'm looking for something. I'm just listening. No. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. But that's how I just sometimes I feel like if something is heavy on your heart, that's prayer enough. Like he knows. Like that's how I feel now. What I want to say is even when I wasn't praying, I knew that he was listening. That's probably the easiest way to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone through all the formality of trying to figure out how I'm supposed to pray and when I'm supposed to pray and the things that I should pray for. And I'm not going to say I'm doing it wrong because I'm doing it, which is more than I was doing a year ago. I realize now, I think that my biggest motivator for prayer was, and I've been doing it for a while, but really made me get serious about it, is when we did Lent devotional.
Mm-hmm.
It opened with, I'm trying to remember the scripture, but ooh. I can't. I know. The Lord will fight for me. I need only to be still. Okay, it doesn't say me or I, but I wrote that like so I knew that he was talking about me.
Because he is. He's talking to you, yeah.
Right. Yes. And I really, really sat with that, and that was a big thing for me in realizing that when I don't know what to pray for, if I just sit for a second, which I would say people could say meditation or whatever you're doing, but clearing your mind before you start to pray, I've realized that that really, really benefits me because I get so, like I said before, in the formality of like, if I don't word it, I don't know why, but if I don't word it exactly the way I mean it, then I feel like it won't, that there's room for error, that there's gray area, that there's like, I would be so obsessive about when I would pray for my kids, like, please keep them safe.
Oh, and if
please
you said the wrong thing, and if then I they were going to be hurt.
Yeah, or, then yeah. I was just like, oh, no, like let them be safe. Please don't let them break any bones. Please don't let them catch a cold. Please don't. And I would go through all these things because I was so scared. Like, what if I'm not specific enough and then something awful happens? But that's also my anxiety.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't have anything to do with anything. That's just how my anxiety manifests sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I realize now that I do have to take a moment and be quiet. And if I'm, if I'm quiet, then I will hear God speak. And it's usually in journaling and having a conversation in prayer and asking for things. It is asking for things. I'm not going to lie. That's how I go into it, is that I usually ask for things. I know that I should, and that's another formality thing that I've done where it's like, oh, you know what, you really should open with thanks. You know, like everybody likes to be thanked.
Open with a joke. Warm up the crowd.
It's true, though, that's how I feel. And I'm just like, you should always open with. So I have, actually, I'm quiet, and then I start to do it, start to write things down. Or I find, like we did the Lent devotion. That's helped me so much in my prayer. And also I read somewhere where it said, stop worrying about it and start praying about it. And I was like, oh, that seems like
that
would be.
Don't tell me what to do.
Yeah. But also that would really probably benefit me so much more.
Yeah.
Than sweating all this stuff.
So one of the things that kind of helped me make a lot of sense of like, am I saying the right things? Does he really understand what I'm trying to say? Mm-hmm. So do you remember when we talked, this was all the way back in our first season of what the point of the Holy Spirit was. So like,
yes.
God in three persons. Right. And then when Jesus was raised from the dead. So this is, again, this is the Christian faith. Mm-hmm. That I know that we have different people pray for lots of reasons. You don't have to be a Christian to pray. Like there are different faiths. Mm-hmm. Faiths do different things. So this is from my faith journey of when Jesus was risen from the dead, and then he went up to heaven, and he left the Holy Spirit here with us. Mm-hmm. So when we are baptized, the Holy Spirit comes onto us and like helps us. It's like a part of God in us to be with us. And one of the things the Holy Spirit does is he works as an intercessor for us. So when we pray, the Holy Spirit a lot of times takes what he knows we're actually trying to say and goes before God with it. So a lot, like it's almost like a translation a little bit of like,
right.
Here's what I'm trying to say. My words are never going to be enough or like adequately explain the way my heart feels or what I'm asking or this pain. And that's when the Holy Spirit kind of steps in and goes before God and takes our prayers so that you don't have to say, Dear Lord, keep my kids safe, and then list every possible way that they could probably get hurt. And if we forgot, like, bike accident, then tomorrow the bike accident happens. Like, it's all, and like, he loves you enough to know what you're asking before you ask it anyway, but he still wants you to ask it because it's about a relationship. It's not just about, like,
right.
God, you know what I need. And sometimes that's it. Like, sometimes that's all you got, but, like any relationship, he wants to hear with the good things and the bad things and your worries and like the things you're thankful for and the, it's okay to ask for things, but if you're only asking for things, yeah. I mean, just think of any friendship. Like if I only talked to you when I wanted something from you, that's a really crappy friendship. So, yeah.
I did write that down because it does, because a lot of times. So another thing that I did was I got the weekly prayer project, which I'm going to tell you, week 14, it got a little difficult, and I just kind of stopped doing it. But I
14 weeks is still a long time for you, though.
That is a long time.
I'm very proud of you.
I'm pretty proud. I did okay. But so this is, and I'm just gonna level with you guys. I'm going to tell you, write down a few. Actually, he talks about, this book talks about Paul and Timothy wrote about giving thanks in all circumstances. And so that's the scripture that they're drawing from. And then it says, write down a few different circumstances in your life. Then below each one, write a reason to find joy in it. And I was like, nope, I'm done. Don't want to do this anymore.
I refuse
because I was just, look, I've skipped around a couple of times and known like, hey, you have to come back to this at a different time because this isn't for you this week. Skip to the next week, come back to this next, you know, think on it. And I've done that a few times, but mostly when I don't feel like I know how I want to have a conversation with God and pray about things, I usually just go to this weekly. I do it that way. I'm not doing it weekly.
So do you pray any other time besides? So I know you're baby stepping, so like I don't want to ask a question that seems overwhelming.
No, it's okay.
But like is for now is just does prayer just happen on your paper? Like, you need to write it out to be praying
no,
at all?
Usually, no. I know the moments where it's like, you know what? I think he has a lot to say to me, so I'm going to start writing down, mm-hmm. and we'll work through this together. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not saying that God talks to me through my writing, but I think that my self-reflection, my prayers, and then
slowing
stopping
down.
And mm-hmm. listening, that I do, like, it does feel like a team effort.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I just feel like we're gonna do this like Google startup together or something. That's how that felt to me. But no. I'm pretty clear. Like when I wake up in the morning, you know, just a
like
quick
the routine.
Yeah,
of,
just
yeah.
like nothing formal by any means. Just like I don't know why, but I've just been like, hey, I have a feeling that today is gonna be the best day of my life, and. If, you know, whatever you can do to keep me and my family safe and happy, and I would just, that would be great. That would be awesome. Like, it's really just, mm-hmm. you know.
Simple and
yeah,
your heart, yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of weird because, oh my gosh, I'm just telling all my secrets. Like, I kind of think, like, if we had a personal bodyguard, what would I say to him every day? Like, hey, thanks for being here. Thanks for showing up and, you know, keep us safe and watch over us. And, like, I in my brain, it's like.
You
He's
need
like,
to be able to see
yeah,
someone.
Yeah, I'm very, mm-hmm. yes. I'm like, I feel like there's like a cartoon in me somewhere. About this. But it's like a Men in Black looking suit and just like, oh yeah, you're gonna be here and you're going to hang out with us and we're going to have a great day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of how I do it. And the same thing in the evening, you know, just reflecting, probably less prayer in the evening and more reflection. But I still feel like it's a quick conversation of just like, how'd the day go? What could you have done different? And I know a lot of people do these things. They journal and they, but for me, like, we really have to have this conversation together. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm sure that even when I was journaling and I thought I was just journaling for myself, it was probably another form of prayer. I was just being a bitter brat about it.
Yeah. I just weren't ready to acknowledge.
Right.
It.
Mm-hmm. I guess too, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that say this, but when life's not going according to plan, and I realized, well, life's kind of been downhill for a while. There's just been a lot of curveballs in the last few years, and I wasn't coping well, and I realized, well, okay, what can you do to be better? And or what can you do to handle this better? And it was like, well, you feel like you're alone because you're acting like you're alone, and you're not calling on who's there. And I feel like that was another motivator to be like, you know what? I don't have to do this by myself.
Mm-hmm.
I also don't have to air out my dirty laundry to everybody, but there's an option here. and this was the best option. So I feel, sometimes I feel a little bit of guilt. Like
guilt about what?
Just like that this is how it had, like I had to hit a pretty, pretty big low for me to like pay attention or to listen. But I think that's it's not uncommon. That's
God's
for sure.
favorite thing to do is to teach us lessons with,
yeah, yes.
really painful. I mean, right. I don't think that's
no, but that's where growth
not his
happens,
favorite thing
usually.
To do. But
yeah.
like, if you read any story in the Bible, there's no like lesson without lots of pain and growth and suffering. And I mean, that's human. That's human nature of fighting against what mm-hmm. what we want to do.
Yeah,
and also this is not common to say like you're not special, but like. This is especially for people that have had such a horrible religious experience when they were younger.
Mm-hmm.
You had to get rid of a lot of things
mm-hmm.
and try lots of other things and see, like, this is just what you had to do to get to where you needed to be. Like, yeah. I don't think you can discount a journey just because you didn't like some of the things that,
right,
some of the places you ended up. Like,
yeah.
It was
a big time out. It was a big. Wiping of the slate, kind of. I had to start from the bottom. But I always remember, I think I was, again, acting like a teenage brat or doing something. And my aunt referenced scripture and said something about, like, sheep that leave the flock will always come back. And that's probably not even close to what it is. But it was something along those lines. Like, you're going to wander away, but you'll find your way back to God. Like, that'll happen. And I was always like, yeah, I don't know about all that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of, I guess, what's happened. I just didn't have a really good base to start with.
So I think a couple years ago, recommended this book to you. And I can see now that it was too soon if I did. And it's really timely because this author passed away unexpectedly this weekend.
Yeah.
And Rachel Held Evans just like was just a very smart, wise religion writer, Christian, who left the evangelical church because she didn't like how all the people outside of the church were being loved. Mm-hmm. And by that, I mean not loved.
Right.
But the book she wrote, one of the first book I read of hers that just made me fall in love with her was called Searching for Sunday, Loving, Leaving, and Finding the Church. Mm-hmm. And I think now would be the right time for you to read it. I actually just borrowed the audiobook from the library when I...
Oh, okay.
Like, I think it would make you feel less guilty about the journey that you took. Mm-hmm. And maybe help make a lot of sense about just what, like, some of the struggles you had. You saw a lot of things in church that were not right.
No, yeah.
So you, for a lot of really good reasons, said no. Like, you didn't have a wonderful church experience and then were like, wow, Jesus is so amazing, I'm out of here. Like,
right.
you saw a really hurtful, mm-hmm. damaging, not Jesus experience of church. So
right.
I'm not sure there's anywhere else you could have gone.
Right. It can be a lengthy process to separate the people from the church, to separate church from God. And I think that's what I've spent a lot of time trying to do.
And that takes a lot of time. So mm-hmm. You didn't ever stop. You were questioning and maybe healing things you didn't know you were healing. I don't know. I think this is just your journey, and I don't think you have to apologize for it or feel bad about it.
No, it's, I'm still reflecting on it for sure. And still, like, when I do pray and I do write and I think about where I've come from and what I've experienced and how our relationship has evolved, talking about me and the big guy.
It's like you and me. That's very nice.
But now I'm taking it a step further and thinking about praying for what I want versus praying for what I need versus praying for God's will. And this is where I get a little confused. Shouldn't I just pray for God's will all the time? Like, isn't that what's going to happen anyway? I don't know. Like, it sounds silly, but do you know what I mean? Like, I'm just like, well, why am I even telling you all this stuff? But I know it is for my relationship with him. Like, that's a part of it for sure.
Right. Well, so just like getting into prayer and being like, Lord, your will be done.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Like, that's a cop out.
Yeah.
Because the goal would be, if you're in relationship and you're learning about who God is and you're reading your Bible and you're doing all these things, like, the transformation is he changes your heart to line up more with what he wants. So, you know, so your desires become his, like, your desires match up with his desires.
Right.
As opposed to, like, all these things I want for selfish reasons or, like.
Yeah.
So it's not so much that you don't have to ever say them, but you grow. And when we pray, if we're praying for things that don't match up with what the Bible tells us, there's a pretty good chance those aren't going to be like really acted on anyway, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I can't say I hate a certain group of people and, you know, ask God to kill all of them. Like, that's like...
Yeah, that's...
I don't know. That's a very extreme example, but the idea was
pain on somebody that we don't like, and like, that's just not going to happen.
Or like, if I'm praying for material wealth,
mm-hmm.
I think there's a big part of God that says, like, what does that have to do with our relationship? Like, mm-hmm. what are you going to use all that money to love people well? And mm-hmm. if you're not, why would I give you more money? Like, just, you know, you like filter through what you know about God and what, I mean, you can ask him anything you want. That doesn't mean it's going to happen.
Right. But I see what you're saying. Like, it's like I said at the beginning of this, I think he's going to show me the person that he knows I am, that he's always seen in me, that I've always doubted and I've thought the worst.
Mm-hmm.
And by stating what I feel like I need in my life and us kind of having a back and forth through prayer, through meditation, through personal experience.
And
to
he
go,
works
oh,
through other people.
Yes,
he
exactly.
works through what people will tell you, mm-hmm. like things you hear, books you read, mm-hmm. like he's not confined to just some prayer time,
right.
you know, like
yeah,
he's the
yeah,
God
yeah,
of the
yeah.
universe. He's going to get your attention a million ways. And mm-hmm. he for sure uses other people. Mm-hmm. He'll use, I mean, anything.
Anything.
Like that's
anything.
Just not.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there are lots of ways that I know, but it also feels like kind of crazy where you're like, well, I was in nature and the trees spoke to me, you know, like
yeah.
That's
extreme.
It feels crazy. I don't know.
And that's my thing. And so I'm not going to lie, I've always been a little bit butthurt about this, that I haven't had that, oh, big experience, that like God spoke to me or my life changed or that aha moment. I haven't had that. But I also, that makes sense in my life because my life has not been these big changing moments. It's constant evolving. It's constantly like you have to do a little bit of work somewhere every day because nothing is going to fall in your lap. Like mm-hmm. that's just how your life has played out. And I'm grateful for it. It gives me a lot of perspective and a lot of reasons to be thankful and grateful. So it's just like, I feel like God has said, like, oh, sweetheart, that's cute that you think I'm just going to appear in a cloud or on a piece of toast and
yeah.
you're going to, but that's
Jesus
not
what's toast. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just, it's not going to happen that way because I know that you are going to be better served and your family and the people around you are going to be better served when I make you do the work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I think some denominations also use that language of God spoke to me
mm-hmm.
Differently than others. So God can speak through the Bible, mm-hmm. like the things that he's already given us. The main minister at our church just retired after, I don't know, 40 years of ministry. And he had said in some kind of sermon in the last year that he's never had, like, there's never been a moment he thought God was talking to him specifically,
right.
you know, like, so that's not a prerequisite for like, loving Jesus or following
it.
Yeah, like it just that's not necessarily how it works all
mm-hmm.
the time
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't discount people that say God does talk to them, but it also doesn't mean that if you have no experience of that you're wrong or you're missing something,
right? And I think that my aha moment is that I'm sitting here having this conversation with you. Like, I've had a lot of teeny weeny aha moments, you
mm-hmm.
know, like, no, I haven't had a big life changing thing, but like, if I have one every day that makes me go, oh, there he is. Okay. Then
yeah,
I'll take it. Yeah.
And maybe this is how God loves you well, because you've said repeatedly that you're a really slow learner.
He created you.
He knows. He's like, see, here's Jessica. She's a very beautiful creation. Also slow. So
also,
we're going to give her little bits,
yes.
nothing big.
Can't give her
she
a lot of
She will not
once.
Listen.
Yeah. No.
She will not. It will not go well. Like,
yeah. No,
he's
it's
giving
true.
You what you need,
yeah.
what, you know, whether you like it or not.
It's so extreme because in some really stressful moments and some really low moments, I've been like, I thought you don't give people more than they can handle, you know?
I hate that phrase.
I know, I do too.
I
but
hate
it. But it's such a, and I don't want to, like, this is, I don't mean this with any disrespect. But it's such a basic term, basic phrase,
and like,
and when
it's
people
bad theology.
Respond, yeah, when mm. people respond with that, I'm just like, you know,
that's
don't,
the point.
Please don't do that.
If you could handle it all, you wouldn't need God,
right?
Like that's the point is that you shouldn't be able to handle all of this,
right?
Like,
right.
You need people and family and friends and community and God to
right.
help you get through. That's the point. If you could do this all on your own, why would you need God? I keep telling myself that when everything like just falls apart again
mm-hmm.
and again, I'm just like, I understand.
Yeah.
I have to rely on other people.
Right.
But could you knock it off?
Please. And the other, like I've said before, when I'm not sure or when I'm so tired of praying about my own situation or praying about my family or my friends or whomever, I've kind of gone to like, well, what does the Bible say? What do I pray about there? And it's, there are very specific. I mean, obviously the pray for your enemies, which that one is not very easy to do.
I don't like that one.
No, so I would just be like, this is me praying for my enemies.
Let me get out the book of people I hate. I will pick one to pray about today.
Yeah, just, yep, that person. Yeah, that's the, I'm praying for them. You hear me? That's all I got. Yeah. Praying for leaders, which I that's a big one, and I do, because if I don't, then I'll cuss a lot. I'll do a lot of cussing. And then obviously relief from pain or suffering or affliction.
Is it?
Yes. Okay, yeah. Affliction, healing, those things, which I do pretty regularly anyway, mostly because of Max and Addie. And like I've said, there were times where I didn't pray for a really long time until, you know, I'm standing over Addie and she's in the middle of a seizure and she hasn't been breathing. Then you come up with some real quick words for God and ask him for things and making deals and please don't, and I'll do this or I'll change this or whatever you do in those moments. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. That's still a hard one for me. I have a lot of people in my life that are, oh, we'll pray for a miracle. We'll pray for a miracle. Yeah, I don't know where I am with the miracles right now, because like I said, that's I don't know.
We'll take one.
I mean, I'll take one, but I'm just
like, if that's the only thing you're asking for, then
yeah. But also, like in my conversations and learning things, what if she is the miracle? Like, it would be wonderful if. Or would it be? I don't know. This, maybe she is the miracle, and that's it. Like I've said this 1,000 times, Addie makes people better. She makes them their best selves, usually. And maybe that's the miracle, is that I got picked.
Yeah.
And I get to raise her.
And the miracle is every morning you wake up and you still get to be with her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. But then there's, you know, and then, but after a really, really bad week, or she's had an especially bad time, and people, you know, oh, well, her seizure stopped. That's a miracle. If you witnessed what I witnessed for the last 5 days, you wouldn't be saying anything about a miracle. So that's a topic that I need to start visiting and talking about a little bit more.
Yeah. Can I share?
Yeah,
so
one of
my favorite authors, Anne Lamott. She has a book, and it's called Her Three Essential Prayers: Help, Thanks, and Wow. So, like, I think about that often, of just like when I need something and I don't know what, like, just help, like, just say help. Mm-hmm. Or when I'm driving down a really beautiful country road in the middle of summer on like a beautiful day and it doesn't feel real, just like, wow, good job, God. Like, can't believe you created all this.
Really came through here.
Yeah, look at those trees. And then just like, thanks, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I know I've said this before on the podcast, but one of the biggest things that I took away from my AA meetings were, God help me. And that's a prayer that is,
often, yeah.
Like, if you could just help me through the next 30 seconds, that would be great. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, but there's, like you said, it could be one word. It doesn't even have to be that much. And I know that AA did not create the God help me prayer. I'm just saying that I wasn't
but
familiar
for you,
with it.
It was it was the right thing at the right time.
Yeah, for sure. And also diving into, and I don't want to, you know, like, I want to receive the information as needed, but I am also, this is how we are. Like, how can I be better at this? And I want to learn everything about it. And so it's like, well, what's my motivation when I pray? Like, are you praying because you feel like you have to? Are you praying because, and like I said, I really think that right now prayer isn't necessarily like, I need this, will you fulfill this prayer? It's more like, it really is still me getting to know me.
Like, hello, is this thing on?
Yeah, exactly. And in The Road Back to You, it says to know thyself is to know God. And that was a huge thing that changed my life and probably started this journey when I was like, I have stake in this relationship. Like, who I am matters. Because in my mind, it was like, there's God and then that's it. Like, you really don't matter in this equation.
And you are made in his, you're made in his image. Right. So there are things of God in you.
Right. Yeah. And that's just so foreign. So foreign. Praying with forgiveness, praying with thanksgiving. That's a very new concept for me. I wasn't familiar with that. And I've read two different ways. So maybe you could tell me your take in that. Praying with thanksgiving? Is that how you would say that?
Sure.
Okay. That, like, you're praying the prayer as if the prayer has already been answered. Is that true? Or are you being thankful for the things that you have while you're praying? I don't know.
There are lots of things I don't know about prayer.
No.
I've never heard about praying for something as if it's already happened just because you want it. You know, like...
Because somebody was referencing, sorry to keep bringing it up, but referencing Addie, like, pray the prayer as if God has already answered it. And I think now that I'm saying it out loud, it's making a little more sense to me because it's praying for a miracle and me going, I have a miracle.
Oh.
Maybe that's...
So changing your perspective.
Hi, guys. It only took me 3 months to figure out what you were trying to say.
So changing your perspective.
Right.
Your point of view as opposed to, like, demanding God change something.
Right. Hmm. Right. So being thankful, like I said, God, can I have a miracle of healing with my daughter? Well, okay, maybe your daughter is the miracle and you should be thankful for that.
Yeah. Or thank you for all these small miracles that happened today spite of a rough day.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
The persistence being, like I said, I know in my heart I pray daily. It just looks, it has different forms. And sometimes I pray at night and I fall asleep in the middle of my prayers because I'm so sleepy.
Same.
Yeah.
I forget. I wish I could give this person credit. Somebody on Twitter, it's a horrible story that I'm going to ruin, but somebody heard a complaint about, like, I just can't make it through my night prayers or, like, praying at night without falling asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl said, imagine, like, think about how awesome it is when you're sitting in bed with your child and you're reading a story and he or she falls asleep in your arms. Like, how amazing that is.
Yeah.
How safe they must feel. Like, how just loved.
Well, that's really good.
Imagine you're talking to your father and in the conversation you fell asleep because you feel safe and loved. And I don't think he's disappointed in that. It might actually feel really great that you fell asleep talking to your father before, like, the last thoughts in your head. And I was like, okay, I'm going to fall asleep every time. No regrets.
That's funny.
But, like you said, perspective change, like, point of view change. How many things have we been taught to feel bad or shameful or guilty about in our relationship? And...
Mm-hmm.
How many things are actually not of God that have made us feel like that?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's true. Even when I go back, and I know, like you said, 14 weeks is really good for me. And I'm pretty proud of myself too.
Mm-hmm.
But then I flip back to 14 weeks ago, and what I was praying for 14 weeks ago I should just still look at it as perspective because that's where I was in the situation. But it was a lot of relationship BS to really, like, gosh, you know what? Like, you really, if you put as much effort into your relationship with God as you did with men, you would probably be in a lot better place.
I think that's a lesson that many people will have to learn their whole lives. Like, that's a good thing. Well, but so I... in the mornings, spend time in my Bible and I write. And throughout the rest of the day, I'm praying or I'm in conversation with God, but I'm not writing. I only do the writing part in the morning for my routine. And what's nice about going back and seeing what I was writing about last year, what I was struggling with or a lesson I wasn't understanding or a concern I had is that so often when our prayers are answered, we forget because we go on to the next thing that we need or want or are struggling with, or they've been answered, but not the way that we thought they would be answered. So we kind of don't even see what has happened. So you looking back, even from 14 weeks and maybe seeing how your heart or some things have been resolved or some things have been handled or some things have been taken away from you. Mm-hmm. Like it's good to go back and see what you were writing about. Like I can go back 5 years and see things that I was worried about and right. know how God took care of me in those moments mm-hmm. or how he changed my heart so that I wasn't concerned about the thing that didn't change at all. Like just, I think it's a really powerful tool to look back, and it's so easy for when something is no longer a pressing issue to kind of forget about how it worked out anyway.
Yeah. And, you know, full disclosure, because like we're not transparent enough on here. I mean, I've spent a lot of the last year begging for God to make a very specific person love me. And like, maybe that is what has become of this episode, is your perspective in prayer, is that I want to love me, but it's also okay to pray for my person. Mm-hmm. Even if it's not the person I thought it was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And just instead of praying for someone to love me, I'm just going to pray to meet the person that's going to love me well.
Or, and you can edit this out.
Okay. I saw Mary, I could see the wheels turning when I was saying all these things.
I have prepared this speech for just this moment. No. Or maybe the perspective is God giving you his eyes to show you how loved you are and how worthy of love you are. And it
right.
filters out a lot of the things that
yeah.
don't agree with that perspective.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a short speech.
I know, but I understand, because everybody, like so many people were like, yeah, you can't love anyone else until you love yourself. And it was like, yeah, I get that. But in my brain, I need to take it a step further. And it actually is what I've said at the beginning of this. This is God showing me how he has always seen me.
Yeah. You don't have to do anything differently to be loved.
Right.
And cared for and valued. And
yeah.
Like you don't have to earn any of that.
Yeah. And it's just like weird. Like if there cannot be a bigger 180 in somebody's head and somebody's heart than there has mine, because I hated myself for a long time. And if I hated myself, there's no way God loved me. He hated me too. Like and I know
in
it's,
your brain, yeah.
But it's just mm-hmm. when you're that down on yourself, when the church has failed you and you thought it was an extension of God, there's just a lot of things that played into it. And now when it's like, no, God loves you and he sees you for the perfect creature that he created and all these, and I was just like, that's a load of crap. Like, I don't believe
disagree.
That.
Disagree.
And now I really am just like, oh my gosh, like he for real, like even like he has seen, even in the sneaky ways that I'm like, well, I'm not terrible here, you know, I'm okay here, or I do this pretty well. He
sees all of it and he still loves you.
Yeah, yeah, all of it.
And he still wants to be in a relationship with you. And
Yeah.
You can't make him stop loving you.
No. But I thought that I thought I could.
You did, yeah.
Yeah, like I did just, why would he ever, why would he want to be in a relationship with me? I can barely stand me.
Yeah.
Yeah. But according to him, we've always been in a relationship. You know what I mean? Like
you just weren't paying attention.
I just wasn't, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, I mean, we didn't have like a welcome back party or anything, but he was like, "Hey,
do
good
you
to
want,
see you.
I'm available to throw parties."
Jesse met Jesus.
It's a Jesse met Jesus party. I save this. I've been saving this one.
Oh.
I know you love it when I tell you things that we didn't talk about beforehand. If you've listened to this podcast for any length of time, you know that Jess and I go to the same therapist. And from the beginning, she asks you at the very first appointment, you go through like the little questionnaire. She has her laptop out, does all the things. And then at the end, she asks, can I pray for you? And I said yes. So she's just always done it. She asks at the end of everything, every session, can I pray for you? Yes. I think she asked you at the very
end. No, you told me. She said, hey, she's going to pray with you.
Did she not?
No, well, that's a thing. So you were like, hey, she's going to pray with you at the end. And I was like, I bet she won't. First thing, I was like, hey, FYI, like before we get started, I'm not down with prayer. I was just like, I don't pray. And she's always been like, okay. And she was like, that's fine.
I thought the very first one, for some reason, I thought the very first one she had asked you, you had said no, and it had never been addressed again. And we talked maybe a couple weeks ago about how you were like, and I think what I said was, I think you might want Lisa to, I think you could bring that back in. I think you might want to open that door.
Yeah.
And when I was in,
you told her.
I was in counseling last Thursday.
Oh my gosh.
We were walking out. I was like, hey, I don't know if this is appropriate or not, but like appropriate has never bothered me before in my life. So I was just
That's what Mary says before she knows it's wildly inappropriate.
I said, but if the next time you see Jesse, you wanted to ask her at the end if you could pray, I think she would say yes. I said, I don't think she's got the nerve to tell you that she wants it. So I'm here probably crossing all kinds of therapy boundaries. And she was like,
okay.
She said, you're confirming some things I've been thinking about. And I was like, okay, bye. See you later.
That's
like,
all I need to hear.
And I just skipped on out of the office.
That's awesome.
So
I feel really bad about canceling my appointment this morning. Oops.
She had this beautiful prayer ready for you.
I know,
and then
she
you're
probably
like,
did. And I was just like, Lisa,
I have to go.
I've got to go tell poop jokes on the radio this morning. I'm not going to be able to be there.
You should have been like, pray for me.
Yeah, pray for me. Hey, you know that prayer thing Mary mentioned? Can you go ahead and do that, even though I'm not there? Thanks.
So that was last Thursday. And then first Thursdays was Thursday night, and you're at my house. And it, like, I can't keep my mouth shut when I want to say something to someone. So, like, it took everything in me to not tell you right then.
And I'm grateful. Thank you for doing that, because now I don't have to have that awkward conversation with her. Now we'll just be at the end of the session, and she'll be like, so Mary said, and I'll be like, yeah, come on, let's just pray. No, I can tell, because I've said some things, you know, like when I was praying, and so I decided I was just going to journal about it and ask God for his guidance, and she's just always like, okay. Like, she's like, No sudden movements. I don't want to scare her.
Don't make eye contact, but I think something's happening.
Yeah.
Well, and so when she said, that just confirms some things I've been thinking, I wanted to be like, can we just sit back down? What are you thinking, Lisa? Like,
let's compare notes.
I have this notes. I have a whole list in my phone of things I would like to. Yeah, like, I'm sure she was probably just like, man, Mary, you can't do this.
Yeah.
But I bulldozed through anyway.
Yeah, that was good. That's good. Do you have a not terrible?
My not terrible this week is sunshine.
Sunshine.
Sunshine. I got to weed my garden, like front landscaping yesterday. We got to be outside. We did nothing special, but just like being outside.
Mm-hmm. It's huge.
I was weeding the front landscaping, and Harper, we went to Bloomington and ate lots of good food, but none of it was healthy. So like, we got home that night, Harper's like, my belly hurts. I'm like, yeah, because you had pizza and ice cream. That's all you had today. And so she was sitting on her scooter, like sitting on it and rolling. So as I'm weeding, she's just rolling down the sidewalk, talking to me, just like not taking a breath, telling me all these stories.
Yeah.
And like, I was just so happy in that moment of weeding my landscaping and my little 8-year-old scooting along in her scooter to tell me pointless stories that probably weren't even true. Like, she lies all the time. So I'm sure half the stories were made up.
Most moms would be like, she has an active imagination. Mary's like, Harper's a liar.
Those are lies. So yeah, that's my not terrible is sunshine and just quiet everyday moment outside. What about you?
I love the month of May. I mean, it's a love hate really, because it gets really crazy busy. The end of school,
it's overwhelming.
It's overwhelming. Mm-hmm. It feels like we have something every single day. Not bad, because it's a lot easier to have, like you said, things every day when there's sunshine and everything. But my Hoosier really, really shows in the month of May, and I love the race, and it's just, I'm so excited to do all the things that have to do with the track, for cookouts, for being at the track a handful of times this month. I could not tell you one race car driver, but I just like it.
Yeah.
I just love it. And it was, and I think it's probably associated with, like, this is when we would usually go down to the lake for the first time when I was a kid on Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah.
And that just
open
was
up
like,
the house.
Yes. And
yeah.
Everybody was, yeah, we were on the lake. We were in swimsuits. We ate hot dogs all the, I mean, that's, so I'm just really excited that it's the month of May.
It feels, if you're not local, Indianapolis feels electric in
does,
May. Like,
it
and it's not even, yeah, it's like spring, summer's mm-hmm. coming, school's almost out. Everyone is busy. Like, nobody mm-hmm. breathes in May because it's overwhelming, but it's just fun.
It is. It is. And I know, every city, I feel like every city has their thing. And obviously, the Indianapolis 500 is ours. But I just, woo.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of vintage don't get on Etsy right now. T-shirts, 500 T-shirts.
You bought them by the time this is aired.
Unless, oh, that's true.
Unless you're talking to me specifically.
No, yeah, you, Mary, don't buy. Don't overpay for a sweaty, stained T-shirt from 1979.
You have no worries at all. You have no worries at all.
So I have a couple in the cart I'm pretty excited about. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I get to report live from the track this year.
For Bob and Tom?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
So that's exciting. I know, I kind of weaseled my way in.
Yes.
I was like, hey, you know what would be fun if you guys had a female correspondent at the race? And they're like, that's a great idea. And I was like, yeah. I did not plan on that working. So
here's what else I'm thinking.
Yeah. And I've
So what day do you have, like, specific days you're going?
So the whole show goes on carb day.
Uh-huh.
And we get to go in at like 5 o'clock in the morning, so it's still dark. And you pull in and the pagoda is all lit up and you get to see the sunrise, and it's just, I'm getting goosebumps.
It's like magical.
It is.
Yeah.
It's magical. And then I get to kind of do the same thing on race day. I'll go in super early and start reporting. And it's mostly going to be funny, like just track goers talking to them and stuff. Like, trust me, I'm not going to be in the pits. I'm not going to be doing anything that has anything to do with the race other than eating a giant turkey leg and walking around the track just and watching people. But I really hope that I could take the kids maybe one weekend and see some cars. That would be fun. So we'll see.
I was thinking about that when you said that. Like, my kid, like, I grew up listening to the race on all the radios throughout the whole house. Mm-hmm. So, like, parents were doing yard work no matter where you went. Because in Indy, it's blocked out. You can't actually watch the race.
It. Well, you used to not be able to.
Like in the 80s and 90s. So I just, that sound, that's summer. Those sounds on the radio is summer. And my kids don't have that.
Yeah. Is that wild?
It's kind of a bummer.
Did you guys ever cut out? We would all cut out the race car drivers and pick them.
Yeah.
I love that too. I will still do that. We took the kids to the race one year and they were like, this is the dumbest thing
so
ever.
Boring.
It was
for kids probably.
Also, the infield, there is a family friendly hill. And we did not know that there was a family friendly. Oh. So
we were
it wasn't terrible.
Wrong hill.
But yes, we could have been a place that may have been a little bit more fun for them and a little bit more PG rated.
No.
Yeah.
I think that is an experience. Like, I need to take my kids to the race. Mm-hmm. I don't think Chris has ever been to the race.
Oh, really?
And he mostly grew up here. Yeah, I don't know. So I think maybe that should be a bucket list some year of just like, or just going to something. I don't know. The race is long for kids.
Pole day is always a lot of fun.
Yeah.
That's
and they
a
have
lot
activities.
Of
activities.
Yeah,
that would be good.
That's a good day to go. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, you are listening to this after the race has happened. So these are just tidbits for next year.
For next year.
Start planning planning your trip now.
Yes. All right.
All right. That was a good one.
Yeah, we covered a lot. So we covered the race and prayer. Go Hoosiers. Okay.
Bye.
Bye. You've been listening to Not Terrible with Jess Hooker and Mary Graham. Connect with the podcast on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Not Terrible Podcast. Visit them at notterriblepodcast.com for show notes and additional content. You can sign up for their newsletter to receive bonus episodes and podcast extras. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast provider. Not Terrible is recorded in conjunction with The Chick McGee Show and Off the Air Podcast. Recorded in the Front Room Studio, this has been a Waco production.